if I wanted to, I could have a skill.
We all could have skills.
I can try to have a skill. I could teach myself a skill. I don't have a lot to offer, but I could.
What do you think you want your skill to be?
For bartering, I don't like to do anything. I could, like, I'm literally, like, the things I'm good at are, like, reading books. Can't really barter that. Maybe I would, like, make.
You could write them.
I mean, I guess.
You could write a book.
I could write a book, but that doesn't help for bartering. What I'm
saying, yeah, like, it does. Trade. People still need entertainment.
You're right. I guess.
You could be a court jester.
I'll actually, here's what I'm going to do.
You and me are actually going to be court jesters. I'm
learning magic.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I'm learning the magic that so enthralls me. And I'm a magician now. Perfect. I'll give you one magic trick.
Well, you're
in
just
going to exchange for this pair of shoes.
Your magic trick is actually going to be just like stealing people, running scams.
Oh, obviously. I'll be learning how to steal people's watches off their wrists, like we talked about in the podcast a couple weeks ago. Exactly, where we were like, how does that happen? I'm learning it. I'm actually a con artist, is my
it's
skill.
It's the long game.
It's the long con.
It's fine.
What would your skill be? Probably watercolors, right? Like, I feel like you've been really doing that.
I could get into artistry. I think I could get into artistry. Or personally, I think I'd love to get into, like, midwifery. Like, I think I could do, like, take care of kids.
Oh, I thought about, like, birthing children. And I was like,
I could figure. I mean, like, I could learn.
I don't want to,
but, like, it's a skill that I could probably learn and, like, not hate to do, you know?
Yank them out.
And they just got, they got to come out.
Grab them by the head. Rip them out of there.
I get those big forceps. I don't know.
The claw.
Maybe more like a doula. Like, I'd love to be there for people while they're giving birth, you know, like be kind of like their emotional support friend. Or alternatively, I'm good at cooking. You know, I'm good at cooking.
You want to know what? I'm pretty good at advice.
You're good at baking too. You could do baking.
Yeah, but I wouldn't want to ruin that for myself. You know, I do that for me, for the joy. I don't think I'd want to have to, like, you know, do what you love and you never work a day in your life, but also don't do what you love because then you're going to hate what you love to do. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I would want to do that, but I am pretty good at giving advice. So maybe I could be like, what's her name?
It's Sally for your thoughts.
A Sally in Charlie Brown Christmas. And she has this stand and she says advice, 1 cent.
Yeah. Penny for your thoughts. Like that's giving, I don't know if you saw the poster that was on my street lamp the other day. And it was like, I'm really good at thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Let me help you think through things. That's you.
That's literally Becky texted me the other day and she's like, do you have an organized brain? And I said, I think so. And she said,
yeah.
And she said, will you help me figure out a plan to move? And I said, sure.
Sure. Add it to my list of things to do. Why not?
I'm like, I could make detailed itineraries for people.
So sorry.
It's okay.
I'm trying to find the photo. I can't find it now.
I'm really good at thinking things.
Oh, here it is. Need help thinking about something? Peace? Text me for free. I'm not a doctor.
Literally,
I'm
always.
I was born and raised in New York City, and mostly what I do is think about stuff. I've had to navigate through a lot in my life. I'd love to help you think through something if I can. He or they... do not charge anything though, so
bartering.
They're already on the bartering system, so they're ahead of the curve.
They have to say, like, I would take a can of beans for this or something. Exactly. Like, they have to name their price, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, that's bad bartering. All right, let's get into this. Welcome, everyone. This is not a bartering podcast, though sometimes maybe it could be. This is, you guys are paying us a penny for our thoughts, even though you don't pay us, but it's, you're getting our thoughts today. We're thinking through things on this podcast. This is TG1F, an F1 podcast with Kate and Nicole. We're your hosts. This is our show. My name is Kate.
I'm Nicole.
Here we are. Just another week.
It's not Monday. I was going to say just another manic Monday, because that's pretty standard for our podcast.
Just another
Tuesday, isn't it?
It's Tuesday, isn't it? We're just here talking F1 again. As always, I literally had to call Nicole yesterday on the phone and just be like, I haven't heard your voice talking about things that aren't F1 in like so long. Like, I feel like the only time I hear your voice is when we record this podcast or we have business calls and we're talking F1. So I just like needed to talk about like normal life. It's like, hi, are we actually friends or are we just business partners? Because surprise, we're actually friends.
Surprise. Yeah, I have something to talk to you about. I think we're going to have to make this just a working relationship.
You can't mix business and pleasure. You can't. Separation of church and state.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, you guys are here. You guys, you heard it here first. Nicole and I are no longer friends. We're actually just business partners. Really got the green memo though today. Look at us.
I know, we're matching. Love that for us.
Ooh, you got two different greens going on?
No, I got a little green going on for the Teen Vogue party. No, it's like a yellow. It's like mustard yellow.
Mustard yellow, swamp green, giving big Shrek vibes today.
Yeah, I'm super Shrek-y.
You knew the vibes today.
Get out me swamp, okay? Let's dive into Qatar.
Qatar was a time.
While we are usually not a race recap podcast, so much happened this weekend.
We have to discuss every single thing about it.
It was an incredibly interesting race weekend.
So much happened. Lots happened. Everything happened, arguably. Lots of things.
It was a sprint race weekend, which, you know, I'm curious to check in. How are you feeling about sprint race weekends now that we've had a couple of them under our belts? Obviously, we fought pretty hard for them earlier in the season and when they introduced them last year, but I don't know how I'm feeling nowadays.
Here's the thing, and I feel like this is kind of sacrilege for me to say as someone who has a passion project that is an F1 podcast community. But I'm just really bored by F1 this year. And like, so even the sprint races, I'm like, I don't feel any type of way about them.
Yeah.
Like, I think this season is just like a lot of kinks need to be worked out. Like, there's just like, I feel like every single week the FIA is having to come out to say like, we're going to do this better. And like, we're working on this. And like, I'm just like, is this the guy's first year hosting F1? Like, what's going on? Like, have we never done this before? Like, what's happening? I just feel like, I mean, granted, I was really busy this weekend. And so like, I couldn't watch like the sprint. I watched part of it and then I had to watch part of the race on Sunday. But I was like, I didn't even feel the need to like go back and watch after, because I was just like, I mean, I think that in general, sprint races, like the theory behind them is good. As we've always said, to like add a little more excitement, but nothing's really getting me going this year with anything. I'm just kind of like, womp womp. Also, like Max won his championship based on the sprint race. And I'm like, you didn't even win your championship in a real race. Like it just, everything felt kind of weird and like underwhelming.
Yeah, I know. I mean, granted, Oscar did win the sprint race. So Max didn't win the sprint race, right? But it was very much just like, I am like, great, just another day for me to watch Max Verstappen win a race. Like sometimes I'm just like, I'm so over it that I'm just like, I can already predict the outcome. And I'm kind of like, okay, which is why I'm glad that most of our podcast episodes are not race recaps, because it provides more entertainment value for us to be able to discuss what's going on off the track.
Yeah. It's like, I don't envy people that have specifically race recap podcasts. I'm just like, I'd have stopped. Like, I'm not doing this anymore.
Congratulations, Max.
Be like, actually listen to last week's episode. you understand what happened. No, I don't know. I think sprint, we'll see.
But also because sprint doesn't have any impact on like the race anymore. It's just kind of like an extra race. So it's
and
kind
that
of like,
I don't like.
Yeah.
Like I did like it when it like determined the grid for the next day. I know most people didn't like that, but like at least it had some sort of value. Like if they're going to have it, like at least I wanted it to have some value. I also felt like it used to have more novelty. Like there wasn't as many. And so like when we did have them, it was like really fun and like a cool, interesting concept.
Yeah.
Now I'm just kind of like, I don't understand their point.
Yeah. I feel exactly the same way. So like, I think we have two more sprint races coming up. I think there's one in Austin. And I don't remember the last one, but I'm pretty sure there's two more coming up. So
yeah.
We'll see if they stick to that many again next season, but I think I'm a little fatigued on I think the number of races that there are in the calendar,
and there's more next
and
year,
and B, the number of sprint races. So it's like, at what point is F1 becoming so overexposed that people are going to start walking away. And
I think it's already kind of happening.
It's already kind of happening. And then we saw like a huge kind of study come out recently about engagement across social for F1. Mm-hmm. And like last year was just like astronomical in terms of like engagement and follows and conversation around the sport. And this year was like one third of the growth of the conversations happening. So it'll be interesting to see if F1 was really just a splash in the pan or if it can hold on to its longevity here.
Yeah, I guess only time will tell. Hopefully 2023 was just like an off season and like people get it together for next year because my God, can't do this again.
Yeah.
They can't keep getting away with this.
If we were Max Verstappen fans, would be a huge year for us.
Huge. Huge. But I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see. Because like 2021 was a great season. That season was so mm-hmm. much fun. And like the like battles between Lewis and Max every week was like fun to watch. Ferrari was having like a tough time, but like at least that was like exciting kind mm-hmm. of. And then 2022, I think people were still really invested because 2021 was so exciting. And it was like,
we were waiting for Lewis redemption. We were waiting for some competitiveness and we didn't get it.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of Lewis, you have a very sad stat in here that Lewis has not won a race since Max took his first world championship.
Yeah, isn't that so sad?
That makes me really upset. That's like that
devastating. Like, and when you really think about it, you're like, damn.
Not one.
So in the past 2 years, Lewis has not won a race. Poor Lewis has not won a race in 2 years since Max took his championship, which is devastating news. But
he also had a tough weekend.
Tough weekend.
In Qatar. That was big drama mm-hmm. at first. I was like, oh my God, they're going to fight. Like, Mercedes are going to fight both of them on their radios being like, my teammate took me out. And then Lewis being like, oh damn.
Lewis really was my fully fault. Taking responsibility.
Which he was fully at fault. Like watching that, I was like, Lewis, where did you think you were gonna go?
Yeah.
Like, where did you think George was gonna go? You think he was just gonna like let you in? Like,
yeah.
It was, where did you think this was gonna go?
It was messy, and also he also got hit with a fine from the FIA for this.
Damn.
He received a non-driving reprimand and €50,000 fine. 25,000 of which suspended for the remainder of 2023 for crossing a live track on his way back to the pit lane following the crash. So not only was he taken out on lap one, he also got a hefty fine. And the steward's verdict read, during the hearing, Hamilton was very apologetic and realized that the situation could have been very dangerous for him as well as the drivers approaching. The stewards reinforced the fact that crossing a live track can cause extremely dangerous situations and the drivers have to be very cautious about it. So big learning lessons.
This is not your first rodeo.
Yeah, so tough for Lewis, but as he says, still I rise. He'll come back stronger.
He will.
He'll come back stronger. He will.
I don't know. I feel like he's having like a crisis confidence, right? Crisis of confidence.
Yeah.
This is a tongue twister, not the something I could barter. Can't do tongue twisters.
Yeah.
I can't do math.
Yeah, I feel like he's really struggling this season. I mean, I don't blame him. He's been dominant for so long to kind of have think about your core shaken as who you are as a person. So hopefully Lewis can get it together and we get a better car for him to compete in next season.
Yeah. Another crisis of confidence happening right now is Lando. Did you see his comments after Oscar won the sprint? And
no.
They were like, oh my God, my little heart broke.
What did he say? I just saw the comments from his radio during the race.
It was like, okay, so he was getting interviewed after and it was like, oh my God, what was it saying? Like, Oscar, like you and Oscar are like both doing really great, but it seems like he's just like gotten some really good results and obviously won the sprint. I'm gonna butcher this because like I obviously am not watching it right now, so I can't remember exactly what was said, but they were like, what is it that Oscar is getting out of the car, like
that you're not,
that like you're not, or like why is the car, oh, I think it was more like, why is the car not performing for you like the way that it is for Oscar, or like what's going on with the car? And he was like, it's nothing, it's just a lack of talent. And he was just like so like dead face, like dead behind the eyes. I was like, my wee little heart is breaking.
You know what I'm going to say?
Karma.
It's just, I mean, the same shit happened to Danny at McLaren. And it's like, once again, you're only the golden boy for so long until Zach Brown picks a new cute little boy to come in and replace you. And then just decides that you're going to be the better driver of the two. So I'm not saying that Lando deserves that, because I don't think he does. But...
but never underestimate
it's a little the level too of petty on the nose.
That Nicole can get.
It's a little too on the nose when it comes to retribution for last year. So that's all I'll say about that. But again, with Lando this weekend, when he was pretty pissed at the team orders, when they were like, Oscar's going to keep his position. And he's like, we have a pretty big gap. I'm obviously quicker. Don't know why you're not going to let me pass him. So I think he's feeling a little spiteful, and I think obviously Lando has not won a race yet, and while Oscar won a sprint race, which is not like a full race, I think that's definitely putting some fire under Lando's ass to be able to be like, you're gonna let this little Joe Schmo come in and beat you to your first podium? I don't think so, buddy. To your first race win? I don't think so. So I'm hoping to see a little bit more gusto from Lando in the future.
I agree with that. There was just, I mean, I just keep being like there, and then there was this drama, and then there was this, I mean, the one win that Lando did get this weekend, but was not actually him. It was his team, was they did break the record for the fastest ever pit stop at 1.8 seconds.
Yeah.
Max's pit team had that previously. So we're taking a record away from Max Verstappen, and that's a win.
And that's a win, boys. A win's a win.
We'll take them where we can get them.
We'll take it.
So that happened. That was a nice win.
I'm very curious to see how Qatar shakes out in terms of a long lasting race on the calendar, because I think,
I mean,
like we talked about last week, you know, it was their 2021 non 2022, and it was back, and this just felt like such a dramatic weekend between all of the penalties that were being handed out, all of the medical issues that kind of followed.
Oh my god, that was like really, really scary. And like, they're like, actually, like, okay, here's what here's all of the all of the medical things, but so many people that like went to the medical center after the race. There was the video of Oscar just like laying on the ground in the cool down room. But Logan retired from the race because he was just like, I'm ill, like I can't do it, like
he was,
and they were like, get
he was just
out
like
of there.
Me for real when earlier they were like, are you, he was like, I'm feeling unwell, but I can do this. He was like, I can do this. He was picking himself up. And as someone who hates to fail, that was me for real. And then later, like 10 laps later, he was like, all right, I actually can't do this.
At Hot Pilates. You were too hot. And you're like, I can do it. And then you're like, I got to get out of here for a second.
Yeah. It was just like, I'm tapping out. I know my limits. I can't do this.
But like, so he actually like retired from the race. Albon was one of the drivers that went to the medical center afterwards. Ocon said he was throwing up in his helmet for like 2 laps,
which is disgusting. How is that was that working? Because like,
I was just like, where was it going? Why would you not just stop? And then this one is the craziest one, is that Lance said that he passed out several times.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that is so dangerous.
Like, how did he pass out and just come back to like, when?
How did you not crash? How did you not like hit someone else? How were you like driving that speed and like you're passed out? Like, how long were you passed out for? Like, that is so, 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 so scary.
Alonso says that he has suffered burns. He was like radioing the team and he's like, I'm literally, the seat is on fire. Can you throw some water on me? Apparently the FIA said no, so he had to deal with this hot seat for the entirety of the race. It was just like insane. And to see Max even was like, this was not the hardest race, but like, it's kind of silly to have this race when we can move it back in the season and like not have it be this hot. But he was like, Martin Brundle and like Will Buxton were like, oh, these drivers are peak performance athletes. Like they can handle it. They should be able to handle shit like this. Like blah, 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 blah. And I'm like,
why do you want them to suffer?
Like,
why
get
do you
it.
want that though.
But yeah, at the end of the day, like, what value is that adding to me and as part of the enjoyment of the sport? Like, I'm like, more actually, worried about their health and safety.
Yeah, and like, actually, I only expect them to be able to like drive a car. Like, I'm not expecting them to be able to like drive a car while in a sauna. That's not like, that's not what I'm like signing. This is not like extreme.
Yeah, it's not like
car racing,
American Ninja Warrior, where I'm like, they're doing the most insane shit.
Right. Like, I'm just so confused. I mean, luckily next year the race is in November, so it's way later in the season. So hopefully the temperatures should be cooler. But the FIA came out with a statement, I think today or Tuesday when we're recording this, saying that they're like in launching a full investigation into like what exactly went on and what they can do. So they said, quote, "A number of measures will be discussed at the upcoming Medical Commission meeting in Paris. Measures may include guidance for competitors, research into modifications for more efficient airflow in the cockpit, and recommendations for changes to the calendar to align with acceptable climate conditions, amongst others." They also talked about how they might start talking to like the rally world about like how they do that, because they race in Qatar and in the deserts all the time, and so they might, you know, start talking to them about what works for them. The head of the F1 drivers organization recommended cooling seats. He said they're really not that difficult to produce and install, and was like, this is something that all of the teams should already be looking at. Like, I just think that makes sense. Like, we see them go through all of these extensive measures to keep drivers cool, like the ice vests and ice baths. Like, why are we not just doing something so that like drastic measures like that are not needed?
Right.
Like, yes, they're peak performance athletes, but we should be doing things that they can perform at their peak without things that very really can be avoided.
Right. 100% agreed. And I think, you know, obviously that's not the only issue that the drivers faced with Qatar this weekend. We saw penalties out the wazoo. Almost everyone suffered track limits penalties this weekend. Jesus. And so the FIA president, Mohammed Ben Salem, has suggested that some circuits could be axed from the F1 calendar unless alterations are made. Track limits infringements dominated proceedings in Austria and Qatar, and Charles Leclerc is among the drivers who have complained about punishments dished out by the stewards. So Sergio, Lance, Pierre, and Alex were all hit with multiple penalties for exceeding track limits in Qatar, and a total of 51 infringements were pounced on by the stewards, more than any other race this season apart from Austria. So
Jesus.
Kind of a crazy, crazy weekend in terms of penalties. But I did see a stat, and I didn't do too much more research into this to confirm, but I heard that Max Verstappen was actually the only one to not get a track limit warning.
Really?
Which is, gotta give it to him. I guess he's pretty good at what he does. But I guess Lewis also technically could take that title from this weekend as well, because he only raced a half of a lap. So
but he did cross active, so he didn't go over the barriers, the track limits, but he kind of did.
He did.
He
also
stayed inside the track limits too much.
Yeah.
He was actually too inside the track limits.
So kind of a crazy weekend. And also, we haven't even touched on the fact that there was a new pit stop regulations this weekend where they were like, you cannot go more than 18 laps on your tires. You have to stop 3 times. Otherwise, black flag, you're disqualified. So.
Because the tires are just like not safe. Like, I'm just – F1 is having an identity crisis right now. Like, I'm like, this is supposed to be the world's most elite motorsport, and it really feels like you guys are just making shit up and, like, are just not – you're new. Like, are you, like, you just, it feels like you're new here.
100%. It's just like this weekend, I think, really highlighted all of the cracks in the foundations of 100%. Formula One as a sport. And so obviously we love the sport. We're going to keep watching, but it's just like, okay, I also will be watching to see kind of what's going to be taken as a learning lesson from this weekend to ensure better safety measures, because I'm also sure, like, oh my God, can you imagine being at that race too? Like, the drivers were hot. Oh my God, like 75% humidity there. Oh my God. I was I'm like, don't cringing. Put me down for Qatar. I'm out.
No, never. We won't be making our way there.
No.
But I mean, that leads into a really good, you know, in our segment about like bigger picture F1 news. But talking about the pit stop regulations, and that's because of the tires that, because it was so hot, they were wearing down so quickly. They were like, you can't actually drive on them for too long. But F1 did announce that they are continuing their contract with Pirelli to be the official F1 tire supplier through the 2027 season. And I guess apparently Pirelli can choose to also provide the tires for 2028 if it would like something like that. But allegedly, this will be the last deal with Pirelli. I guess they were kind of debating between Pirelli and Bridgestone, but went with Pirelli as like the safe option, because I'm like, maybe just because there's been so many other changes that haven't really panned out. Yeah. They were like, what if we just also change the tires and then everything breaks and nothing is good? But it sounds like they are most likely going to go with Bridgestone after that 2027 season.
Interesting. Which,
want to know something crazy?
Yeah, obviously.
That's only in 4 years.
I know.
That's gross. That's gross.
Oh, God.
I was like, oh, my God, that's in like 10 years from now. No, bitch, it's not. Other bigger like industry news, which I don't think we talked about this last week, but we should have, and I didn't put this on the agenda, but F1 Academy is finally going to be actually broadcast.
Yes.
People can watch F1 Academy.
Thank God.
We did it. It will be on ESPN. We did it, Joe. Starting with Austin weekend, you will be able to watch F1 Academy, the all-women feeder series, on ESPN, kind of just exactly like you would watch F1. So that is so exciting. I like can't wait. I think that's going to be huge, especially I think that's just going to be huge for the sport, because we've obviously seen people disengaging with F1 and going towards other motorsports. And so I think it'll be really great for the sport to have more access to F1 Academy.
Yeah.
Or Formula Academy. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. So we will have to catch it probably on the replay, because obviously, yeah. Your girls are booked and busy in 2 weekends for someone's wedding. In case you guys haven't heard yet.
In case you guys didn't know, I'm getting married. But we will have a TV, so maybe we'll stream F1 Academy from the wedding.
Who's to say?
In
other big news.
The biggest news in the F1 world. Big news for F1. F1 should be lucky to have this news come out. The two girls are headed to Las Vegas.
We're going to Vegas, baby.
Vegas, baby.
And
Las Vegas, Sin City.
I'm really excited about this, because we weren't friends when you had your 21st birthday in Vegas.
I know.
And so I didn't get to go on that trip with you. So I'm really excited to reclaim Vegas with you and get to experience it as 30-year-olds.
I'm like, I will not be as fun as I was on my 21st, let me tell you what.
And I'm like so excited. And I keep giggling about the fact. So like, we can't say much. Like, obviously we said in the post that we will be joining the Alfa Romeo team in Vegas, which we're really excited about. And unfortunately, Kate has a work event in Los Angeles on Wednesday, so she's flying out. But Nick and I are heading to Vegas on Wednesday. Nick and I are going to Vegas for an event on Wednesday, and it's just going to be a Nick and Nicole mess around day in Vegas.
Which is so dangerous.
Like, I'm worried. Like, you should be worried about us. Like, we might not make it to Thursday.
I know, dude. I'm actually scared. Like, what will I be walking into on Thursday? I don't know. Like, I'm actually so worried.
But it's going to be definitely a silly, goofy time. That's for sure. So everyone stay tuned for the absolute antics that are going to come out of the Nick and Nicole mess around day in Vegas while Kate's at work.
Okay, but to be fair, I'm at like a fun trip with work. So like, I'll be going on a horseback ride around the Hollywood sign.
I'm so happy for you. That's right.
I'm riding horses.
Everyone knows that Kate wants to ride horses. So she's also getting her fun time.
Yeah, we're riding horses at the Hollywood sign. And then immediately after that, we're going on a pizza cruise. We're going on a gondola ride with pizza around LA.
I'm sorry, did you book this trip? Like, did you do the planning for this?
No, but they literally knew what I needed, though. They're like, if Kate has to miss this event in Vegas, we're at least going to make this the best day of her life otherwise.
So So fiance Nick is standing in for Kate as an other two girl for one of the days in Vegas. But it's going to be really fun. I'm really excited for it.
It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's going to be something. That's for sure. It'll be something. Yeah. So we're going to have to start planning what our looks are going to be, mm-hmm. because what the fuck do you wear to Vegas? I can't be going all sparkles. I'm not 21 anymore, but yeah. I just like, what do I do? I don't know. I don't know what the vibe is.
And obviously you guys know that we are working on, the Martin Garrix angle. So if you guys actually see us side stage for a Martin Garrix show in Vegas,
don't be like, surprised.
Don't be surprised, because like,
don't be surprised.
The two girls are working on something
special. You guys know that we manifest our dreams, and the fact that we're even going to Vegas in an official capacity right now is a huge manifesting win for us. And so the fact that we've had a bit going for a long time that we're going to get Martin Garrix on the podcast has been going for a while. You know that that's happening.
You know it's going to happen.
You know it's going to go down.
We've already spoken about that as a fact in the future. So it's going to happen.
Yeah, it will be happening. So stay tuned for our episode with Martin Garrix from Vegas. Live from Vegas.
I'm dead. But yeah, Kate and our manager, Brittany, are going to be driving from LA to Vegas on Thursday morning in a special edition issued Alfa Romeo car. So get ready good road trip content. And then we're all driving back to LA.
After 4 days in Vegas, help. That's too long to be in Vegas. This trip is going to be too long to be spending in Vegas.
I'm excited. I'm scared by the fact that we're driving out to Vegas. We both have red eyes though out on Sunday, so yeah, we can kind of take our time now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, I'm red eyeing back home to Chicago for Thanksgiving. I'm just like,
at least you have to only go to Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm like, oh, I get in at 6 a.m. Mom, come pick me up from the airport, and then I gotta go to work.
Literally. Yeah, it's
so this is definitely going to be a whirlwind trip. Like, I'm already thinking about all of the things that we have planned already.
And here's what I'm nervous about. Here's the biggest thing that's stressing me out about Vegas is that everything that we have to do, aka like practice, qualifying, the race, most things start at midnight. And I'm like, that is too much time during the day that's too much day drinking time. Like, we need to like train ourselves to be nocturnal. Like, we are sleeping during the day and we are waking up for the nighttime, because like, that's too much time. And you obviously know I don't love staying up late. Like, we don't like to stay up late. And so like, this is gonna be a big problem for me. And this is why people in Vegas do drugs, apparently.
So hopefully
if you have a drug connection in Vegas, hit us up.
If we fall asleep, I'm so sorry. But if you have any tips for staying up late, let us know too.
If you're a drug dealer in Vegas, hit us up.
I'm cutting that out.
We're soliciting business advice and illegal substances. Anyways, yeah, the two girls are going to Vegas, so stay tuned for everything that we have planned and are continuing to plan. And if you're listening to this and you're like, oh my God, I have a fun idea for them to do in Vegas or that my company wants to do, let us know. We are always down to clown.
Mm-hmm.
In other big F1 news related to the two girls, we're now the F1 Dumois.
Yeah, we are.
People are sending us Sunday spotteds. People are sending us anon please messages. And so if you see an F1 driver out and about or anyone related to motorsports, send those tips in to us and we will be posting them.
Dumois tries to claim the F1 news, but let's take that from her and
we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah.
So,
okay, speaking of being judgmental, I'd love to put Lance Stroll on trial right now.
Oh my God.
I'd love to put his ass on trial. I'd love to discuss his behavior this past weekend. And
a petulant child.
I hate to say it. I was wrong. I came out swinging earlier this year that it was going to be Lance Stroll's redemption year. And he, every week that goes by, is just proving to be worse and worse.
It's just, I understand, like, partially I understand his frustration. Mm-hmm. I understand, like, this sport is, like, so demanding and can be so frustrating, especially, like, if you don't have the performance or if, like, you know, the car isn't performing. And, like, we've heard drivers on the radio saying things and they're like, yeah, I was, like, in the heat of the moment. You're, like, flooded with adrenaline. But at the same time, you're, like, a grown adult professional athlete, and like you have expectations to like behave appropriately.
Yeah.
And like we've seen people get really upset, and like we had that incident where like Max like kicked his car, and like people get upset, but it's fine to be upset. I think any athlete that's like that passionate about something is obviously going to be really passionately upset when something goes wrong, but like to take that out on other people and like in such a public setting when you know that you're being like filmed is like not cool.
Yeah.
And I don't know, which I also like, I don't know, I feel like kind of a hypocrite saying that because I've always been like, we need to bring back the days of like Michael Schumacher running through the pits to like but fight someone. That is
fighting someone who did you dirty.
Yeah.
Lance Stroll just shoved his personal trainer
and like through his
steering wheel. And so it's kind of like, it's also like, bro, you know that you are not the best car in the grid. You know, like it would be one thing if like his championship was on the line. And for this to happen, like I could understand a little bit more of this behavior because I'd be like, wow, like that really sucks that to be so close and have, you know, your championship taken away or, you know, just to miss the mark. But like, bro, you regularly don't finish in the points and you're not really in even conversation of being one of the top drivers this season. Yeah. So like settle down, please.
Yeah. It's just like, I don't know. We see it so often in sports, like people in tennis get really upset. So they like throw their racket or people in golf, like throw their clubs or things. And I'm just like, oh my God, grow up. You guys play a sport for your living. Like,
but you know who else never does this?
Who?
Women. You never see female athletes getting that upset. And like,
I'm not going to go as far as say you never see that because I'm like sure that you do.
Well, I'm sure. But like any instances off the top of your head, if you think about any scenarios, I'm like, yeah, it's usually men getting so super upset about these things.
Yeah. But that's also because men's sports are more visible.
That's true. I'll come back with a fact check on that.
Yeah. I would love that. I mean, I would love to say that that's true, but I also am not going to have the PC police coming at us and being like, women do that, because they will. And I also think that that is, you can't see you can't be what you can't see. You can't be a woman losing her cool at a sport if you can't see a woman losing her cool at a sport, because they don't televise women's sports enough. How about them apples?
Great reframing. Love that.
Thank you. The feminist agenda persists.
Kate's in her PC era. I'm like, I hate all men, so it's fine. Speaking of being a man hater, let's talk about Checo a little bit because he is on really thin ice right now.
And
we have talked about this over the past couple episodes that like, what is the future of Sergio Perez? Because he failed to make Q3 again this weekend in Qatar, I think for the 9th time this season. And then again, he hit Esteban Ocon in the sprint race and took him out. So again, Esteban's racking up those points for the end of the season championship of being hit by Perez the most. And both Helmut and Christian.
Also, I'm so sorry to interrupt, but this is where my brain went when I was looking at the agenda about Sergio being on thin ice.
I'm screaming.
Remember this game?
I'm screaming.
Do you remember that game?
Okay.
That game was so fucking lit back in the day. I loved it.
Let's bring it back.
We should. There was another one that I was thinking of too, and it was like penguins, and you like stacked like ice cubes basically. And I have to know what it was called.
Mm. But anyway, Christian recently said about Checo, I think we really need to sit down with him because we know what he's capable of and he's not hitting that form at the moment. We desperately need him to find that form to keep his second place in the championship. We'll support him as much as we can because there's a triple header coming up and there's a huge amount of points with sprint races as well. We have a contract with Sergio and we're not seeing the best of him. We need to unpick unpack what it is that's causing the slump in form for him, and we are going to support him as much as we can to achieve that. The other teams are working as a pair. Mercedes, it's very tight between their pair. Ferrari, it's very tight between their pair. Oscar, what a great job he's doing as a rookie, very tight with Lando. So they're really putting out the public shaming of Checo to be like, do better.
Yeah.
Or prepare to be fired. Because I think obviously we know Checo's on contract for 2024. And the rumor is that Danny's going to come back in 2025 and replace Checo at Red Bull. So who's to say if we don't see that happen sooner based on Sergio's performance over the next couple of races and the beginning of next season. But it's
not looking good.
It's not looking good. He has been in decline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see. But who knows? Maybe it's time.
And speaking of people who are kind of feeling iffy on their teammates, Carlos, allegedly, despite winning Ferrari's only race win in 2023, he's apparently feeling ignored by the team. Now, I don't think he explicitly came out and said this. This was from a Spanish newspaper. So
a source.
They might be substantiating and they might really just be, you know, putting words in his mouth. But they're saying he earns half as much as Charles. And race after race, he sees how the team's entire strategy focuses on improving Leclerc's results, which has caused him to lose many points. So again, they're so media trained, I don't think Carlos will ever come out and say this type of thing, but it's definitely something we've been watching to see if Carlos continues to feel like he's really playing second fiddle to Charles.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because I don't know, I feel like especially in F1 too, like we talk about this a lot, but like F1 is so race by race too. It's like you win a race, but like the next race you could DNF. Like it's not like, I don't know. So it's tough to be like, I got the only race win. Yeah. And so now I should be number one. But I do think it's tough for teams to have to decide who is going to be the number one that weekend. And it really has to be like individualized on like race by race.
Yeah.
Which is tough, but that is very sad if he is feeling that way.
Especially after his non-start this weekend and
his such fuel a bummer.
Leakage. So I think he's just feeling a little sad about his performance, but.
Which I get that.
We'll see.
I would like to talk about Enchanté.
Okay, let's talk about it.
It's fine. It's fine. And I think someone in our DMs brought up a really good point, which was...
I don't think I saw this, though. Tell me.
She was like, I miss when Danny used to do merch lines that was not just Enchanté. Mm-hmm. Like, she was like... I didn't know, but I was going to like treasure my all good always shirt, but now I am.
Yeah.
And like I forgot, but like I saw Kaylee wearing his FEA sweatshirt over the weekend. I was like, that one was so good. And I like, I understand that like Enchanté is like the brand, but I also feel like he was really good when he was like coming, like having these other things that were like so personal to him.
Yeah.
And like doing designs around that. Like, I don't know. I worry about Enchanté getting just like pigeonholed into like one specific thing that is like successful because people are buying it versus like thinking outside of the box and like doing something more creative and fun. And like, I used to be excited to hear about Danny's new merch lines because I'm like, oh, what is it going to be? Is it All Good Always? Is it Fuck 'Em All? Is it like the three? Is it Honey Badger? Like, what is he going to do? And like, what is he going to like come up with next? And that like the first drop of Enchanté was awesome. And I was like, that's so perfect because like he always says Enchanté, but then like, it's just kind of like been stagnant since then.
Again.
And I like miss when he was like having fun with it.
Yeah. Again, we're a little overexposed on the Enchanté and the Danny Rick merch. And so similar to F1, I think we need to take a little conscious break, you know?
Yeah, agreed. Something that I've been thinking about a lot is I know we talked the other week about like Ted Lasso and mm-hmm. who is like the Ted Lasso of the sport. But here's what I would love to have happen is a Welcome to Wrexham situation, mm-hmm. but like Welcome to Williams. Yes. And it's just like someone outside of the F1 world or the motorsport world coming in and like taking over the team or like taking over ownership or like the team principal and just like looking at it in a new way. And I feel like this is what F1 needs. Like, I feel like F1 needs a Welcome to Wrexham mm-hmm. situation, or like similar, like a Ted Lasso situation. Like, I want someone to come in and just like take over. Like, I want two major Hollywood stars to just like buy an F1 team and like see what they can do with it, having like no background or knowledge in F1. Because I just really feel like it's like when you have a company mm-hmm. and it's like every single person that works there has only ever worked there or has only ever worked like in that industry. It just gets really stale and stagnant. And like, it's like, okay, things aren't working and it's because we're just doing things the way that we always have done. Right. And it's like, you need like fresh blood, fresh eyes, like people from outside the industry to come in and help shake things up. I feel like that's really what F1 needs. Yeah. So I like would love it to be like Welcome to Williams and like have, I don't know, people that care about the sport, like Pharrell, come in and just like own Williams and like do shit with Williams. Like, I feel like that would be so fun.
Could be us.
We're too involved. We're too involved, Nicole.
Could be us. We know a lot about business.
It could always be us. It could. We know a lot about business. We do have an LLC. You're so right.
We are business bitches. Like, we know what we're talking about. And like, we have so many fresh creative ideas. Like, it's our opportunity for us to go to Oscar Mayer and say, put us in, coach. Put us in. So
no, I'm just like I think we need something like that. But yeah, Nick has been watching a lot of Welcome to Wrexham. Yeah. And so I was looking at him like, I would love like a TV show like this too about F1. And like, I don't know why Williams came up, but I was like, one of those teams that's just like should be a lot better than they are right now.
Yeah, 100%.
Be like hysterical.
Yeah, would love to see it. Okay, one other thing is I did see a rumor that potentially Yuki could go to Aston Martin in 2025 to replace Lance Stroll. And Helmut Marko basically said that Aston Martin must reach an agreement with the Red Bull team or the Austrians next season should they want to sign Yuki Tsunoda, something that has been rumored. So this is the first I'm hearing of that rumor. I don't know if you've caught whiffs of that. But there's no shot Yuki's going to Red Bull. Like, I don't know. He's not moving up from AlphaTauri, so I think his best bet is to switch teams. So, and by 2025, I think Alonso's going to be out, so I'll be curious to see.
Maybe.
I'll be curious to see who Yuki's partner is in 2025 at Aston Martin. If it's still Aston Martin at that point. If Lawrence Stroll doesn't sell to the Saudis. I know. And basically just create like a shell company for Saudi Arabian money. So I guess we'll see what happens there.
We shall.
Time will only time can tell.
Okay, girls' room, relatively light this week. Like I say every week now, the girls are just being freaking boring lately. Carmen's at a finance conference. Like, what do you want me to talk about with that, Carmen? What do you want me to talk about with that? I can't say anything. You're just at a finance conference. We need to talk about the Max and Kelly picks.
The Max and Kelly picks, I was screaming. I think that was probably outside of the photo of me posting with that carrot at the grocery store and saying Pierre was at the grocery store. This is the most second replied to Instagram story I think we've ever posted.
Yes.
Because everyone was like, why are they hugging like that? And why do I have the same photo with my brother? Like, why do they look like that?
It was giving like middle school yearbook photo, like on the last day of school or like on a spirit day. You're like with your friend. Or
you're hugging your crush as like, because they think that you've been friend zoned and you're like, hugging them, look. But it was very cringe. I just didn't love it. I was like, why would you post this?
It was something.
It was really not for it. Sure. But you know what is something? is we talked a little bit last week about Yuki's potential new boo. And we talked about him potentially holding hands with this woman at this event. And I just want to follow up and say that people have pointed out that they think that this is his press officer.
And real life fan fiction coming to life.
So I did see the comparison photos. It does look like her. I mean, granted, I don't know if it is her. And again, this could have been a situation in a non-romantic setting. They could have just been at this event together. And we could be taking this out of context. But I love to speculate and I love to be delusional and I would love for her and him to be in love.
As a fan fiction lover, appreciator, aficionado, all those words, I would love for this to be true.
I would love. I mean, I think it probably is a little misguided in terms of like HR policies. Like, I don't know like how good that is for the workplace, but
you never know.
In delusion land, in my fantasy land, I think it's perfect. And I hope that they are in love. If they want to be.
I would love that. Yeah.
If they want to be. Okay.
Obsessed.
That concludes the girls' room this week. Let's get into a manifest minute because you guys have finally sent us some emails with some manifest minutes.
Okay.
All right, so today we are going to be manifest minuting for our friend Megan. So Megan has requested an urgent manifest, and she said this week she submitted an application for an incredible job opportunity, which would really set up her entire career and family's future. She's hoping she can use the collective manifestation powers to get my application across the line and have an easy and successful interview process. So let's all really just take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out, and let's put ourselves in Megan's position. Let's put ourselves in the position of applying for a job we really want, something that's going to be super successful for to set us up to be super successful in our career. And, you know, feel those emotions when you finally receive that email back asking for that phone screen, asking to set up that interview, getting a call from the recruiter because you've smashed the interviews and they're calling to offer you the position of a lifetime. Imagine how that really feels. And let's just really send all of that energy to our friend Megan, because we know that she is capable, she is smart, and she's definitely the right person for this role. So let's take a deep breath.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important.
So let's take a deep breath in, deep breath out, and let's really just set our intentions for the week and go into the weekend believing that we are worthy of anything we apply ourselves to. We deserve the things that we want.
Yeah.
We are capable of getting across the finish line and succeeding in our goals, and that people believe in us and people trust us to be good at the things that we're good at. And so I'm hoping that for anyone who has maybe recently applied for a job or is thinking about applying for jobs, you take this energy and confidence and know that you are the right person for the job and you are going to find the right team that's going to value your commitment to them and your commitment to your craft. And so, Megan, if this one might not work out, which that's not going to be the case, but you'll find the right thing for you eventually.
Absolutely.
That's going to be, you know, better than you could possibly ever imagine. So we're thinking about you. We're thinking about anyone who's potentially in this position and hoping for everyone's success.
Love it. I love it.
And thank you for everyone who submitted your manifest minutes. We're going to get through them. I'm very excited to see some of these. I love when you guys send us your little manifest. It feels so special to just like be a little part in your lives. So keep it up. Thank you so much. But that's all for us for this week. So we'll see you guys on the internet.
We'll see you on the internet. Bye.
Bye.